Broadcasting Network.
Today is Sunday, December the 5th, 2021. Couple more days left in this thing we call 2021. You're listening to the Republic Texas Radio Show. We just started today kind of bumpy, but, you know, sometimes, whatever, man. It's good to be on the network. Republic Broadcasting does a great job of keeping the wheels together. You should look into supporting them. They're kind of important, and we'll get into that as we go along. We've got a kind of a full show today, so let me just jump in and bring Alan on board. Hey, Alan, are you there?
I am, Steve, and and he wanted me to state that at the bottom of the hour, Steve's going to play a video after that, but around the bottom of the hour, we're going to bring Lark in Texas on. We're going to talk with Lark for an hour or so, a little bit later, so here, and it ought to be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I got a video that, I kind of want to, you're not going to see it, right? But it's also a video that's produced very well audio-wise. And I just want to get your thoughts on, this whole thing and how you put the pieces together. It's not stunning or groundbreaking. In fact, we've been talking about this kind of stuff in the world for a long time, but now I'm ahead of myself. So let me just back up a little bit. Last week, Jeff in Massachusetts called in really early in the show, right? And it was just a real blessing. Thanks for calling in there, Jeff. And he put forward a problem, a conundrum, something that happens and is happening, the death of lots of our broadcast hosts, and where they're all going, right? And where's the second lineup? I consider myself, very fortunate to be on Republic Broadcasting. And just to have this time to talk to y'all, it's great. I look back at some of the wonderful people that were here in this kind of a role in the past. One of the funny comparisons that I was thinking about this morning, which does not fit, right, is Bill Cooper, right? Check this out, guys. I am not Bill Cooper, right? That dude was, crazy, right? He's back there in time, and he's looking at the world, and he's going, here, this fits here, and this fits here, and whoa, damn it, crap, we're screwed, right? And that's Bill Cooper, and he was, I'd probably say the king, a king, but we've had a lot of those. Stan Monteith, he used to be on the network. He was the story behind the story, and he went in and he wanted to tell you that, reality is a lot stranger than the fiction you're being fed, right? And then you go, oh, no, it's all okay. Take the jab, eh? But, I don't know, Alan, and I'll stop this really quick, but I just wanted to talk about Jeff's point, and Jeff's point was they're all going away, right? They're dying, and there's nobody to replace them. Now, Amit called in. He's another one of our listeners, and he made a point in the second hour, and he said, that's because they're all younger, and they're going to need some time to mature and to get their knowledge levels up. Right. And they're there, they're in the weeds, and they're coming up. And as I went through the week, kind of thinking, lamenting on what Amit had said, and then looking, right, I saw some new young broadcasters, they're YouTube, TikToking it, and I'm like, I don't do that. And that's okay, I don't have to do that. I do what I do. I do Republic Broadcasting, and I come on like a clock, every Sunday morning talk to y'all, or, me and Alan do. And that's our shtick. Their shtick is whatever they do, and they have a little bit They got makeup, and they got microphones and sets in the background. And, hey, it's different, right? You know? I don't know. But they're coming next. And are they going to be right, or are they going to be dead? You know, I don't know. But that's all I wanted to share. I do see that the next generation is in, you know, well, it's in design, and it will be whatever the heck it is. We spent a lot of years going, where the hell are all the millennials? And now they're, well, they're there. They're on BitChute and TikTok and probably a whole bunch of other platforms that are not YouTube. Sorry about that rant, Alan. I kind of just needed to get that one off my chest. Well, kind of continues today.
Yeah, your thoughts? I just got to wonder a little bit, Steve. These younger generation, they've been brought up with nothing but computers and the internet and the social media platforms and everything. Do they really understand, or are they just kind of LARPing, as y'all say? You know, today's young generation really don't have a lot in common with a vast majority of them.
You're not supposed to have anything in common. You're not from there. And yes, they are dumbasses. Don't get me wrong. You were a dumbass once too, you know, as was I. But, you know, the progress forward requires that we are a dumbass for a minute, and maybe there was somebody that was perfect, or, you know, but you know what I mean, Alan? It's like, yeah, they're dumb. They don't get it, and then they will, and it's going to hurt. That's just my thought.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not doing this because I ever wanted to be a broadcaster. I'm doing this because I see what's going on. I see it. I've studied enough. I've listened. I've read. I've thought. And, you know, use my own organic computer to, you know, as my main organ to figure out what's going on. I don't live in the flashbang world. Maybe I understand things a little deeper that I do read. I don't know. I meet people who've kind of read the same material that I have. Don't get the same thing from it. I don't know. I don't know if they actually read it and comprehended and thought about what was written and what they've read and what they've learned. I don't know. I stay in a constant state of confusion, if nothing else, because no one around me seems to want to accept what is really going on and how bad it's become.
Yeah. True that, you know, and then you get the inevitable question, well, Alan, what is truly going on? You know, we cover that all the time, so tell me, what is going on?
We can figure out parts of it. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, that's real elusive, definitely in our justice system.
Well, our justice system is damn funny. That's a whole nother story. People, you know, I heard this just last night. Somebody talking about the justice system and going, well, maybe there is hope. The courts did blah, 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 blah. And I go, are you kidding me? Right? You know, they're going sideways everywhere. You know, and that's another story. You know, let's follow up on this. You know, L.A. was raided. They're raiding everything, right? And out of the 140 people, I believe it's the Hammer story, 140 people that were actually participating in the Hammer theft of Home Depot, 120 of them were captured this week. So they got caught, and they were instantly released. There's our justice system, right? And I don't want people thrown in jail, but, you know, come on, man.
It's kind of like, the program that was on right before us. You know, he was reading from the book Hellstorm. You know, I don't have that book. I actually did watch that video, though. You know, it was quite eye-opening, seeing as to I kind of grew up in a military family, you know, right next to an air base, and we went to the library, and we checked out every war book we could, you know. And it's amazing, as I was sitting or listening to him read, it sounded like All Quiet on the Western Front, Part 2. Which happened during World War One, talking about the death, the destruction, the just the total devastation that a war like that, you know, brings, the personal side of it, and just the humanity, you know, of the whole thing, you know, the animals dying, you know, the horse, you know, World War One was a lot. There was a lot of horses, you know, everything was horse drawn. There wasn't near as much mechanized, and you know, talking about, you know, the horses, just horses everywhere, you know, with guts strewn out and screaming, the horses screaming, you know, as they were dying and this and that, and people too. But, you know, there's just a lot of carnage that goes on when this stuff finally breaks open, and it's not a pleasant thing. And that's, I'm just trying to buffer it as much as I can, because I know, once again, folks, history does repeat, and I have no idea what's going to happen this time, but I've listened to what was just read before on the show before us, and I've read All Quiet on the Western Front, and I've read a lot of other things since then, more truthful novels about what actually has gone on, and than what you'll find in most of your public libraries that they present to you. It's bleakness. I don't know. It's why I'm here. I see what's happening, and I understand what's happened before, and I don't see, I hate to say, I don't see a real bright future for the vast majority of the population of this planet at this point in time.
Yeah.
And with the COVID crap going on, the rush to inject put a jab in every arm on the planet as fast as we can, and now I'm literally surrounded by morons because Omicron. You look, once again, I heard Sherry bring it up first. Sherry in Kansas, you know, that also works as moronic, and I'm like, wow, you know, that I'm really surrounded by morons now. It's very moronic world.
It is that zero micron thing. You know, it's kind of funny. Well, no, it's not. It's painful, right? You know, they got that liquid they want to squirt everybody with, right? And they want to put this in their arm. And, well, it's very ineffective, right? And some say that it actually creates...
Steve, well, but they're working itself to make it more effective. We've got the new Omicron, and the vaccine manufacturers are just beating themselves to a pulp trying to make a vaccine that will work against the new Omicron also. And they're going to do this in, like, 3 days. You know, I mean, if people actually believe this stuff and they run down to get this crap squirted into them,
they've seen the movie, right? In the movies, there's that hero, right? And she always is the smartest person in the room. And she runs into her laboratory, and she grabs a vial, and she mixes a couple of things, grabs a monkey, and squirts it, and then all of a sudden, she's the hero. You know, that's the movies, and they're used to that instant gratification.
You forgot the part about the monkey having sex with a pig, and the pig having sex with a mosquito, and the mosquito having sex with an ant, and the person having sex with the ant that had sex with the mosquito that had sex with the pig that had sex with the monkey. Yeah, where did
that
it all come from?
Alan, that was the opening credits for the show. I don't comment about opening credits, but that is pretty much the movie, and that's where we're at. And displaced faith in people, constructs, you know, whole chunks of what do we call it? The medical industry. You know, back when I was a computer geek, Alan. You know, when I did it full time and I was the corporate, you know, person, I said, I did my job, now you do your job. Problem was, I do my job and nobody else did their job. Because you think that
the guy
with the
laptop... Because you finally figured out what you were doing, huh? You were,
Well, I'm just saying, let's say, I don't mean to be mean to all doctors, right? You know, when whatever that means, doctor. But, you know, it does come down to personal responsibility because they don't really give a crap. Well, no, they probably do to some extent. But they don't... Alan, it's like when a couple years ago when you brought your mom into the hospital and you're driving there and you're asking her, so how do you feel? and what happens with this and this and that, and you have this long conversation into the car, and then you get to see the doctor, right? Dun, dun, dun. What does the doctor say? Well, you look good. See you later.
You still taking the really? Prescriptions we gave you? Yep. Okay, yeah, see you next time.
Really, does that care? No. I'm just getting through this thing, right? You know, and okay, maybe that's not what he signed up for. I don't know if that doctor was signed up for making money.
He went through boot camp, which we call medical school, you know, but yeah. they don't call it boot camp, but they do the same thing. They take a person who, you know, hopefully there are some good people out there that start off with good intentions. Like I said, I went through that part of the, you know, the pre-med stuff, you know, the zoology degree, you know, emphasizing, you know, on physiology, you know, histology, virology, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I saw the people that were going towards med school, and I didn't like any of them. And that's when I switched over, and maybe I can do research. You know, I've always loved science. I've always loved the outdoors. I can go out and I can collect samples. I can do this. But the people that were going into it to go to med school, they were some of the most snotty little self-centered sons of bitches I've ever seen in my life, and I didn't like them, and I just said, whoa. You know, I couldn't imagine what happened to these people in med school, you know, when they went through the boot camp, and any humanity they might have had was drummed out of them, and a new person was created, just like they do in boot camp. They take a nice kid from the country, and they turn him into a freaking killer, you know. They break them down, beat them down, make you follow orders. Orders is it. All you do is follow. If you've got a medical procedure that we say is the procedure you have to follow, doesn't matter. You know, doesn't matter if your patients are dropping because of the drugs you're giving them. You're legally able to murder people, and you don't feel bad about it because that's procedure. That's what we're told to do. Nuremberg. I mean, where does this stuff begin? Where does it end? What's the final conclusion to what? System is that's been created around us. What does it finally end up being? We're getting close, folks.
We are
in our time.
Hey, Amit's on the other line. Let's grab Amit real quick before we get to the bottom of the hour. We're about to hit the break. Hey, Amit, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you both for taking my call. I just want to take that the concept of Jeff a little bit further, if I'm permitted to do so. But before that, I must thank you for reminding us of Dr. Stan Monteith and Bill Cooper. I never heard Bill Cooper, but I have heard late Dr. Stan Monteith when he was on shortwave. And as far as I know, he was the only MD who touched those topics, not related to health, I should say. But the reason I called was that... if not all of the hosts, maybe about 30-40% should consider hiring or just grooming maybe interns so that they can ably take their places when time comes or when they want to retire or when they want to go a little slow. So this knowledge base is so immense that... we just cannot keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best. We'll have to do something solid in order to have new blood or new people. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Yeah, well, thanks. Hope is a weird thing. You know, I don't know that I have the luxury of hope. But we'll see.
You know, once again, you know, I don't like the word either, Steve. Everything in moderation. But when hope becomes your survival plan, it ain't a real good survival plan, folks. You know, just hope and hope and hope. A little bit of it is good. It keeps your spirits buoyed up. But when it becomes your survival plan, well, I hope that doesn't happen. Well, I hope this doesn't happen. Well, I hope that doesn't happen. Well, I hope it sure gets better. That's when it becomes a very negative aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know,
you're right. And I'll just add that I'm in northeastern Massachusetts, and a local AM station has an advertisement from a financial planning company, and the advertisement is that people now should not use hope as a tool of retirement, just like many people buy lottery tickets to finance their retirement. So I think both are similar measures and should not be relied upon in their entirety, that is. That's all.
Yeah, hope and facts. I don't know. It's a trip. Thanks, Amit. I think we're about
to get
the break.
Thanks again for taking my call and holding the fort in Texas, so to speak. Okay, bye-bye.
Definitely. You know, I don't know. There's just too much going on. We could do a whole news thing today, but we're not. Let's just put that out there. We've got our own schedule. You're listening to Republic of Texas Radio. That's The Break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
So here we fight all through the night, going at it now, it's tooth and nail.
We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, things that are in the news today, of course, we've got the whole zero micron new COVID variant that's out there, right? You know, they made that stuff up. They called it zero micron or Omicron because they could, right? You know, from what I heard, it was called Jakarta when it was found in South Africa, and maybe it was some other name, but it was funny. It had a localized name, and it was some little thing.
You know, Steve, for a little bit, actually, the Netherlands was trying to claim credit for it being discovered in the Netherlands first. They were actually battling with South Africa to see who was going to be the one that it came from. Oh, yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. Well, New York now is pulling ahead in the zero micron cases. You know, they had a super spreader event, Alan. It was a Comic-Con thing, and thousands of people came together. But, you know, they were all vaccinated, and they all had masks, and they all got COVID. And it was they're not sure which version of COVID they had. Did they have the Delta, the Alpha, or the new zero micron, right? Who knows?
I guess if everyone just stopped doing stuff like that, Steve, and all they did was attend Black Lives Rally, you know, Matter rallies and stuff like that, we would all be safe because no one gets sick at a Black Lives Matter rally, right?
Yeah, that might be true. I don't know. It also could be the fact that they're still using that the PCR test to identify this, and it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a simulation.
See, I've seen pictures now of where they've said, oh, we've got pictures of the new variant, and you can see the mutation sites on it, and they've got one picture of the old one over here and a new picture of the new Omicron over here, and it's got all this red stuff at the top of it. And everyone goes, ooh, the red stuff at the top, that looks scary. That means it's more deadlier than the other one, or isn't it? And it's like they use science, which most people are completely ignorant of, as a weapon of ignorance. I mean, it's perfect.
It's an artist's impression of what it would look like if they actually could see something. Yeah, I don't know, and it's really stupid. They've changed the terms around, right? This is one that has been annoying to me for a while, Alan, for a while actually, and it just keeps growing. They say breakthrough cases. I'm kind of like, you mean vaccine failures? Right? I mean, no, it didn't fail because it was never supposed to work, right? And we told you it wasn't working. We told you that it might help. Take it, right? We never claimed that you wouldn't get COVID, you know, with the whatever, the injections, whichever injection, right? How many injections do we have around the world right now? 6, 7, right?
Now we figured out that it's best if you do mix and match. If you had the Johnson & Johnson, take the Pfizer. Or if you had the Pfizer, take the Moderna. Yeah, it's great. Mix and match. Yeah, stick 3 bullets in the cylinder when you're playing Russian roulette. It's a lot more fun that way.
I know. I have this Kenworth. It's sitting out back. It's a semi, and it runs on diesel. And so I think I'm going to put jet fuel in it and see how that works. And, you know, since we can mix and match things, I don't know. Maybe that's not a very good example, and I don't
actually,
have
jet fuel might work in it. You put gasoline in it, it's going to blow the engine apart.
Really? Yeah, I guess. But it's kind of crazy. I watched this all happen, right? So they have a super spreader event, and everybody is protected. You know, they've legislated everything in New York down to, you know, you can't actually walk outside unless you got, you know, your little, you know, thingy, right? And we got to get together, but we're all protected, right? You know, but we should all still be afraid of each other. And it worries me sometimes. I worry that my environment here, and I don't know what everybody's environment is outside, and I remember watching the rise of the COVID nonsense. It just came in to Fredericksburg. I was sitting there. I'd call Alan all the time and go, hey, I saw somebody with a mask. And then I'd say, well, I saw a person with a mask 2 times this week. And then all of a sudden it's like bing, 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 and then they all disappeared. And the only people I could find in the aisles without a mask were my friends. You know, it made it a lot easier to find my friends in the store. I'll tell you what, you know, as you're walking through the store, you see the crowd split apart, and there's the friend of Steve. Dun, dun, dun. Hey, it's been a while. Yeah, these guys are all nuts, aren't they? Yep. And so we could talk a little bit. But my mom talks about the crazy stuff. I talked to her yesterday, and she now lives in New Hampshire, and she still has to go back to Massachusetts for a bit. But there is literally a line to cross to go absolutely insane. So the New Hampshire side of the world, right, everybody's walking around, and there ain't no masks, right? Nobody cares. But then you cross into to Maine, and everybody feels like they're going to die. What the hell? Okay, hang on, folks. I guess we'll start the show after the break. Republic of Texas Radio.
I want the truth. You can't handle truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Republic of Texas Radio. I got to see if I'm on mute, and that isn't happening. So that's really good. We're going to have Lark join us this for the rest of the show. But I also have a clip that I want to play, and I was kind of looking forward to his thoughts about what the clip is and, you know, the content within it and what's up. There he is. He just joined via Skype. So, welcome to the show, Lark. How are you? Well, that's kind of not talking. So, I see right ongoing calls. Do you see him there? Okay, because usually when... Yeah, that's fine. You know, usually when he talks, it's louder. There he is. Okay, welcome. How are you, Lark?
Not too bad. I'm on mute until you guys decide to bring me on, okay?
Okay. Let me just, let's do this real quick. It's kind of a little bit of a clip. It's kind of interesting in the subject of, you guys tell me what the subject is. This is pretty new stuff. I don't know what the hell it is. Let's do it. Play the clip and Skype too there, Sam. Please.
It's horrible. It's a horrible feeling. You feel
like you're in prison. You feel like you've done something wrong. It's inhumane what they're doing. Like, you are so small. They just overpower you and you're literally nothing. It's like, you do what we say or you're in trouble, we'll lock you up for longer. Yeah, they were even threatening me that if I was to do this again, we will extend your time in here.
Hello and welcome to Unheard. I'm Freddie Sayers. Australia. Until recently, that country was most famous for its sunshine and relaxed attitude. Well, since the COVID pandemic hit, we've all got to know another side of Australia, with some of the longest and most stringent lockdowns and travel restrictions in the world. It's become a case study of what happens when a government will do anything to keep COVID numbers low. Their latest policy is to build special camps, COVID internment camps, to which infected and suspected infected people are moved. The biggest of these camps is called Howard Springs. It houses up to 2,000 inmates, surrounded by tall fences and carefully policed against attempts to escape. It's been described as the gold standard of such camps and is being replicated across Australia. Joining us today on the line from Darwin in the Northern Territories is Hayley Hodgson. She has just returned from a 14-day, let's say, stay at Howard Springs, and she's agreed to tell us all about it. Hi, Hayley.
Hi, how are you going?
So we are really keen to just hear what's happened to you. It sounds like you've had quite an interesting last couple of weeks. Take us right back to the beginning. How did this all start?
Okay, so how it all started was a friend of mine went to work and got tested for COVID. He had a little bit of a cold. He tested positive. He got put into this quarantine camp. And then we went about our days as normal, and then the investigators starting to knock on our doors and stuff like that. So then what actually happened was I had investigators come. I walked out the front.
Just to interrupt you, so how did they investigate you? Were you part of a contact tracing kind of list?
Or? So what they did is how they contacted me was I have a scooter and they ran my number plate. And they ran the number plate and seen the footage that I was with the person who had tested positive, and that's how they knocked on my door and knew where I lived from running my number plates.
Okay. So then did they call you up or did they come straight to the house or what happens next?
Yeah, so they came straight to my house. I didn't get a call or anything. I literally walked out the front and it was two undercover investigators. And they said, oh, do you know so-and-so? I said, yes. They said, have you been with them? And I said, yep. I told them my whereabouts, where I'd been, everything like that. And they said, no worries. And they said, have you had a COVID test done? I said, yes, I had, when I hadn't, just because I was so scared of in the moment. And I've been to one of these quarantine camps before, only literally a month before this. So I know what it was like. I was just really scared. It was just a horrible position to be in. And I just lied and said, look, yeah, I have, when I hadn't. They said, you know, they drove off. About 5 minutes later, they called me and they said, we've tried to check the system and your name's nowhere. We can't find you. And I said, look, I've lied to you. I'm completely sorry. I'm so apologetic. You know, I'm scared. I don't want to, you know, this is just such a scary thing. And they said, yep, righto, stay there. Someone's going to come and test you. I said, all right. So I stayed there and I just waited for someone to come and test me. No one came to test me. The next people who rocked up at my house were two other police officers. They blocked my driveway.
These are actually uniformed police officers, normal police officers.
Yeah. So then the police officers blocked my driveway. I walked out and I said, what's going on? Are you guys testing me for COVID? What's happening? They said, no, you're getting taken away and you have no choice. You're going to Howard Springs. You either come with us now and we'll put you in the back of the divvy van, so, or you can have a choice to get a COVID cab. So of course I chose the COVID cab because they said, well, if we're to take you, we're going to hand you a $5,000 fine. So of course I didn't want that to happen, so I just said, look, I don't consent to this. I don't understand why I can't just self-isolate at home like a lot of other people are doing. And they just said, we've just been told from higher up where to take you, and that's all that there is.
So Howard Springs is the biggest COVID camp in Australia, isn't it? It's a huge network of cabins that is built to house potentially infected people.
Yeah, so they are literally bringing in now hundreds of people that are of close contact or that have COVID. So it doesn't even matter if you test negative on your first test, your second or your third. They need to, because you're a close contact, you have to stay in there for 14 days, no matter what.
So let's get back to this situation at your house. So these two policemen, what is the choice they give you exactly? It's come with us in this van, or you get a $5,000 fine.
Yeah, so it's, you come with us, we take you there, and you're given a $5,000 fine, or we will call a COVID cab, and we will not fine you. So it's pretty much you have to consent, otherwise you're getting a $5,000 fine.
Okay, so then some hours later, the COVID cab arrives.
Yeah, it was probably the policeman stayed at my driveway until this cab came. They said, can you please go pack a bag? So I went and packed a bag, and whilst I was packing my bag, I had my housemates at the front speaking to them, and they said, is she able to just do a test? And once that test comes back negative, is she able to, you know, leave and come back to normal life? And these police officers said, yes, we're pretty sure that all you have to do is return a negative test and you'll be released. So that gave me, you know, that calmed me down knowing, okay, well, if I return a negative test, I can just go back home. So I got in the COVID cab and the police...
I think we've got some footage that your mum took, actually, that we can play of you waving goodbye and getting into the back of a van.
I've just come and she's being taken away, but look at the COVID van.
Bistro, pokies and functions.
How professional. Long live COVID.
That is a COVID taxi, but is actually a casino bus. So driving there, and then the police escorted me in, and then I never seen them police again. They left. They weren't allowed into the facility. So then new police came and they were in charge. Obviously, I was very distressed. I was crying. I was saying, this isn't fair. You know, it was just horrible to go through. And I stood there and I just said, can I please have a test now? Because I need these test results back, as I will be negative. And I later on, I was negative. The whole time I was there, I was negative. And I said, once these go negative, am I allowed to leave? And she said, no, you're here for the 14 days.
The and first time you found out that you were there for 14 days was when you arrived?
Yep.
Okay, so you get taken to a room, is it? A cabin? What's life like inside these camps?
You literally get put on the back of a golf buggy with your bags, and these people are in hazmat suits and everything. They don't want to come near you because they think you're infectious, and they literally drop you to your room. And they leave you. They don't come and say anything. They don't check up. They don't do anything. You know, you get delivered your meals once a day and you are just left.
And are you allowed to talk to people? I mean, have you spoken to people from inside the camp?
We can, but we're only allowed to stay in our designated areas, which is nothing, maybe 2 meters. We have a deck that we're allowed to go out and maybe get a little bit of sunlight, but that is it. If you get caught off your decking without a mask on or anything, you get a $5,000 fine. And then that happened to me, so I didn't get a $5,000 fine. I got a written up warning, which is, I actually sent you guys some footage on that as well.
Yeah, so tell us about what we're about to see here. So these are the officials inside the camp who are disciplining you because you were apparently not being contained within your area, is that right?
Yeah, correct. So I went to the bin to put something in the bin that I was not wearing a mask. Mind you, I actually have an exemption. I don't need to wear a mask. I have a medical condition. And the person that came to hand me the notice was another police officer.
So what's the guy?
So this, I'm going to give you a warning, yeah? It's an official warning. That you have to stand above and obey the rules while you get, yeah? And that's
we have to go to the rules again. I don't care.
So am I allowed to go to the laundry?
You're allowed to go to the laundry, but you've got to wear a mask, yeah?
Yeah, righto. Yeah.
And you definitely can't go up the fencing rails, but you're allowed to go to the laundry, yeah? That's always been the case, yeah?
Right, so if I was sitting just here, which is right near the fence, why are these guys in a cabin that's right near the fence? It makes no sense, does it?
Yeah, but you can't leave your balcony to go to the fence to talk to somebody else. That's just obvious, yeah?
So if I was at that balcony...
Have to make sense. There has to be lines everywhere drawn, yeah? And along the lines that you cannot leave your balcony and you cannot go to someone else. Where it makes no sense or it doesn't seem right to you, that is the line, and that's what the law is there, and that's how it goes, yeah?
The law.
Well, the show direction.
There's a law that says
show
that.
Show direction, yep. There's a show direction, yeah? And how the behaviour must be done, especially in this area, because it's much more highly infectious and likely to have infected people, yeah?
Highly infectious when all of us people are negative.
So
that's a risk.
So far, the risk is still very high, yeah?
Yeah.
While you're here, can we just do that? Otherwise, the next time it's a $5,000 fine. We don't want to do that.
It's a $5,000 fine if what?
If you breach again.
If I walk out onto that path.
Without your mask on, for no reason other than the laundry.
If I cross that yellow line.
The rule, saying that you've broken the rule.
That I've broken the rule, I will be issued with a $5,000 fine.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay. We could even do that now, but we're giving the warning first. Have a chat with you because... It's a big fine. Rather just do the right thing, yeah? Like I said, I'm not here to fight with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight with you.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to do the right thing, and unfortunately, it's my job to make sure they do. I don't care the ins and outs. I've got nothing to do with me. I'm just here to make sure the rules are adhered to, yeah?
So what did that experience make you think? Like, what was your feeling about being in that situation with those people in control of your every movement?
Oh, it's horrible. It's a horrible feeling. You feel like you're in prison. You feel like you've done something wrong. It's inhumane what they're doing. Like, you are so small. They just overpower you and you're literally nothing. It's like you do what we say or you're in trouble. We'll lock you up for longer. Yeah, they were even threatening me that if I was to do this again, we will extend your time in here.
So the officers within the camp have the power to keep you there longer if you misbehave.
That's what they were saying, yep.
And at one stage, is it true that they offered you Valium?
Yeah, so because I was so distressed and I said, can you just please let me out for a walk or a run? Like, I'm in this little box and I can't move. Can I please, I'm anxious, I'm feeling not well, just I need to get out. And they literally said, we've got a doctor calling you and we'll get some Valium prescribed to you that you can call us anytime you like and you can have Valium.
Just to calm you down?
Yeah.
So when did this end, Hayley? You were in there for the full 14 days?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, 14 days.
And that was a few days ago that you came out?
Yeah, I think I've been out a week and a half now.
So during that whole time, how many times were you tested, and did you ever test positive?
Never tested positive at all, and I was tested 3 times.
So at the moment, you haven't had COVID?
Never had COVID, and I was of close contact to someone, never got it, and I was treated literally like a criminal.
What's happened to you since you came out?
I guess that's a good enough place to stop it. You know, it only goes on for another couple minutes, and it's already been a long clip. But I'd like to open this up and say, what the hell was that, right? You know, we've been talking about it for a long time, but I won't talk anymore because we got Lark on, and maybe I'll just jump to Lark and say...
Let me say something real quick before we bring Lark on.
Alan?
Before we unleash the Kraken. Lark, yeah, you know I'm kidding with you, man. This is what I got a feeling that Lark, you know, is going to talk about. You know, I heard him call into a show, and he said he's just disgusted. And I called him right after that, and right after he hung up, and I said, disgusted is a good word. Yeah, I said, I've got other adjectives, but I think I told you all this. See, Steve, what I got from this from the very beginning was she said they scanned the tags on my scooter. Now, are they just like randomly scanning tags, or is this something that they're scanning and they've got plate readers everywhere in Australia, which means that everyone is guilty until you're proven innocent? They're collecting data on every one of you. every one of
big data,
this modern world, this digital world, it's becoming a prison. It's an open air prison.
There's a lot of
everything we do is being watched.
Lark, feel free to join in. Kind of curious as to your thoughts.
Well, you know, I forgive me, I'm feeling a little wistful this morning because I first started as a host on this network 10 years ago.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was about September 2011. The last member of my nuclear family had just been murdered by the White Coats, just like my sister and my father and my mother before. And so I was actually quite frightened to be a host. It's not easy. As you know, it takes a little time to kind of get used to being confronted by dead air, and it's your charge to fill that air. And I remember feeling, you know, this huge weight on my shoulders because I didn't want to waste people's time. Because, you know, time is the most valuable commodity we have on this plane of existence. But be that as it may, I remember, for any of you that want to go check it out, except for my very first broadcast on RBN in 2011, I used to publish my show notes in advance of every broadcast, because I realized if I was going to talk about things that most people were uncomfortable with or unfamiliar with, that a lot of people wanted a visual. They needed a visual. And particularly with talk radio, very often you hear names wrong, you hear dates wrong, you step away for a moment and you go, oh, I missed that, you know? And of course, with RBN, that's why we have archives. But be that as it may, I thought it would be nice to relieve the burden of taking notes, because I know when I first discovered talk radio in 2009, I was just amazed by all the new information that I was gathering, because I thought the great thing about the internet was that we could finally ask those questions once again that never quite got answers in our lives. They were never satisfied. And I felt a particular responsibility, you know, as an older guy, I'm 67 now, that I wanted those dreams of that little boy or that little girl to not be thrown away. And I was really concerned about this new world coming into view and what would happen. Yeah. You know, as time went on, I realized all the ways that I'd been lied to all my life were the things that I didn't take note of that I wished I had. And you know, many things. And so I have to admit, I have pretty much a bias towards educational talk radio, and that's where I tend to gravitate. But that's because I'm an old duffer, you know, and I've got time on my hands, and most folks don't,
and
you know,
you,
that are
you
raising.
You become an information junkie. A lot of us are. You know, it's like once you find out how much you've been lied to, you just want to try to strive for as much of the truth to supplant the lies that that have been implanted in us in this system that's been created that we have to live in.
You know, there's still always the big questions of life that most people don't really confront ever. And just like myself, many others, if we did confront them, they were unresolved somehow. You know, there's big questions like is ought and nominalism versus realism within epistemology. You know, there's nature versus nurture. And I keep telling myself the only really great teacher in this life is nature itself. Everything else is artificial. But I can share a quote with y'all and then proceed from there, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do.
This is from a book called La Trahison de Clerc, 1927. The Treason of the Intellectuals by Julien Benda, a French philosopher and a writer. Quote, "Our age has seen priests of the mind teaching that gregarious is the praiseworthy form of thought, and that independent thought is contemptible. It is moreover certain that the group which desires to be strong has no use for a man who claims to think for himself." Now, that word gregarious is essentially a person who is, I call it the three C's. They are compliant, they are complacent, and or they are complicit. They're the go-along to get-along type. And by and large, as social creatures, man is that way because we tend to conform because we don't want to, you know...
We don't want to be the ugly duckling. We want our peers to accept us. We want the companionship, the camaraderie. Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So anyway... I should say that on the inaugural broadcast that I did on RBN, and y'all can find the show notes because in that particular episode, that inaugural installment, I actually published the show notes that I was actually prepared. I had prepared in advance and was sharing with the listeners. And then I published it after the fact. But afterwards, I published in advance every set of show notes of every broadcast I ever did. That's that first 14-month stint that I was on RBN. And you can find it today. You can go to larkintexas.blogspot.com and go into the archive and go into the very first entry at that website. I titled all these entries, and that particular entry was titled Diogenes. Like, remember Diogenes in Greek history,
he was one of those guys kind of like Socrates and those guys, yeah.
He used to wander the streets of Athens with holding a lantern aloft looking for an honest man. And, of course, he never found one. But, so, on that broadcast, if you look at the show notes, everything that I discussed on that broadcast is right there in black and white. And it's the shortest group of show notes, research notes, links, etc., that I ever did. So you're not going to miss a damn thing about what actually happened, even though those archives, as I understand it, no longer exist. But
yeah,
people that remember being back in the early days, you know, 10, 12 years ago when I first started calling RBN, I would never call
and get interrupted by the break.
Yep,
but
I'll hold.
Unfortunately, we are.
Pesky little detail. Hang on, folks.
You know the routine, Larkin, Texas,
on the line.
Yep.
We're going to go through the break and we'll be right back. We'll pick it up without a hitch. Or maybe we'll have a hitch. Be right back.
Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
We're back.
Republic of Texas Radio, Sunday, December the 5th, 2021. We're almost done with this, folks. Well, this is hour two, almost done with this year, and we'll go on to the next year. Anyways, I got